yesterday to reach out to Miley, and I interpreted it as asking her to be the reader. And she'd mentioned to me she was in the hospital last night with her uncle. And I just heard now that her uncle has passed. So let's just take a moment and say a prayer for her uncle and herself, and know in an affirmation that all is well, and that our love and presence are with them. So let's just stop for a moment and make a quick prayer. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see everyone here. Regina, glad to see you made it. The Wi-Fi is working. let's start off with our welcome. This is a time where we can just embrace and say hi and greet each other to tell where we're from. And I'm going to play Awakening Song by Deva Pramal and Mitten. Today, our music is going to be provided to us by our maestro, Lynn Johnson. And the reading is also going to be our dear Lynn Johnson. So let's say hello and just do a little welcome time. I'll play the music.
The calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here, melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Welcome. Just a quick statement of our purpose here in Awakening Together. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. With an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And I'm going to bring up our fifth core value here, which is stated as, we accept all forms as temporary appearances, permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. And that continual reflection on changeless truth means that in our minds we're not judging others' experiences, we're not judging ourselves and our own experiences. They are different. Everybody's experiences are different. Everyone's understandings and appearance is different. I don't believe any, even identical twins have a slightly different appearance. And yet, in a sense, they appear even more like everybody else. Maybe they even have a more experience of honoring that connectedness because they are so much alike in form. But the practice in awakening together is to accept all form and to see the universal truth in every expression of faith. Even if in our own past, I know we've judged different expressions of faith at different times, and even judged our own expressions of faith at different times, our own church we belong to, or what have you. The practice of this core value that is a big part of awakening together is that we allow and really practice that and stay focused on the being rather than the form. And so, getting on with some announcements, there is an upcoming class, Jesus of the New Testament, which is a 4-week class, and you can go to a link on the website under classes, and it's an introduction to the Jesus of the New Testament starts this month link, and it contains a really cool page that Regina put together about just that class, and there's an outline and a little bit of a blurb about it. And the two sections coming up are on Tuesday evenings. That's from September 29th to October 20th. And I'll be teaching that one from 7:30 to 9:30 Eastern. And on Wednesday morning from September 30th to October 21st. That's in the morning time of Wednesday. If you have, maybe you're not working or you have that time available, that's Regina is teaching that one. And to find out more, you can, or to register, you can actually go to that page and check it out. There's going to be a quarterly member meeting tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. You can also, I can have Barb put up the link for that as well. That's under, I guess that would be under, actually under, not, maybe current events. So that would be actually... I just thought it'd be a good idea to put current events under the events tab. That would probably be a good idea. Let me put the link up here for you. Post that.
Jay, you dropped the mic.
Oh, thanks. That must have been when I pasted the link. Sometimes when I hit Control V, the link drops for the sound. Thank you, Barb. What a great admin. Okay, so the weekend of Within Retreat with Regina is almost full. The other weekends with Jan Frazier, entitled A Weekend of Being and A Weekend Beyond with Bentino Massaro, are around a little over half full. So there's still spaces available. And there's links under our website under events. 2015 Fall Retreats. So that is where you will find info about those. So check it out. And there's also another opportunity for Last Chance Scout Fellowships until about September, mid-September or so, just for another few weeks here, up to about 4 weeks prior to the events. It'll be like September 30th. Get submitted application there too. So turn it back over to Lynn for our opening chant or song. Who knows what she's going to have for us? All yours, Lynn.
Boy of mine, as your fortune.
fortune comes to carry you down the line. And you watch while the changes unfold. And you sort among the stories you'll be told. If some pieces of the picture are hard to find, and the answers to your questions are hard to hold, take good care of your mother when you're making up your mind. Should one thing or another take you from behind, though the world may make you hard and wild and determine how your life is styled, when you come to feel that you're the only child, take good care of your brother. Let the disappointments pass, let the laughter fill your glass, let your illusions last until they shatter. Whatever you might hope to find among the thoughts that crowd your mind, there won't be many that ever really matter. Take good care of your mother, and remember to be kind, when the pain of another will serve you to remind, that there are those who feel themselves exiled, on whom the fortune never smiles, and upon whose lives the heartache has been piled. They're just looking for another lonely child. And when you've found another soul, take good care of each other. Take good care of each other. When you're thinking you're alone, be aware of each other. When you're looking for something of your own, take good care of each other.
Oh, thank you, Lynn. That was a perfect song. I love the lyrics. Let's join together real quick in a prayer of invocation. Let's take in a deep breath. I give my acknowledgement, dear God, that you are the presence in which I live, and every part of myself is within God. I know that my heart will be released in spirit through grace, unless I desire or want to block love and thus imprison myself. In the name of my freedom, I choose your release in my heart and in the sight of all brothers, because I recognize that we will only be released together, united, as one. In this spirit, I choose to see me being within you and all my brothers within you too. I thus see no separation between God and me, and in whom all I see. In this, I know I am healed. Amen. I will put that prayer up on the board. in such a way that it does not actually cut. Oh, it did not paste because there was carriage returns, which I know some of you have experienced, so we'll just do that at another time. And now let's move into the reading. This is Lynn. She's got a reading from A Course in Miracles, chapter 26, section 9, which I was looking back is actually just one section after a section I read in a previous gathering a few months prior. So it's interesting how Spirit sometimes just has us pick up where we left off. And turning this over to you, Lynn, for ACIM, chapter 26, section 9, entitled, For They Have Come. Please join us in the reading. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. And this is one of my favorites, too. And I believe this was one of Helen's favorite sections of this scribing. So amazing. For they have come. Think. But how holy you must be, from whom the voice for God calls lovingly unto your brother, that you may awaken him the voice that answers to your call. And think how holy he must be, when in him sleeps your own salvation, with his freedom joined. However much you wish he be condemned, God is in him. And never will you know he is in you as well, while you attack his chosen home and battle with his host. Regard him gently. Look with loving eyes on him who carries Christ within him, that you may behold his glory and rejoice that heaven is not separate from you. Is it too much to ask a little trust from him who carries Christ to you? That you may be forgiven all your sins and left without a single one you cherish still? Forget not that a shadow held between your brother and yourself obscures the face of Christ and memory of God. And would you trade them for an ancient hate? The ground whereon you stand is holy ground because of them who, standing there with you, have blessed it with their innocence and peace. The blood of hatred fades to let the grass grow green again and let the flowers be all white and sparkling in the summer sun. What was a place of death has now become a living temple in a world of light. Because of them, it is their presence which has lifted holiness again to take its ancient place upon an ancient throne. Because of them have miracles sprung up as grass and flowers on the barren ground that hate has scorched and rendered desolate. What hate has wrought have they undone, and now you stand on ground so holy, heaven leans to join with it and make it like itself. The shadow of an ancient hate has come, and all the blight and withering have passed forever from the land where they have come. What is 100 or 1,000 years to them, or tens of thousands? When they come, time's purpose is fulfilled. What never was passes to nothingness when they have come. What hatred claimed is given up to love, and freedom lights up every living thing and lifts it into heaven, where the lights grow ever brighter as each one comes home. The incomplete is made complete again, and heaven's joy has been increased because what is its own has been restored to it. The bloodied earth is cleansed, and the insane have shed their garments of insanity to join them on the ground where you stand. Heaven is grateful for this gift of what has been withheld so long, for they have come to gather in their own. What has been locked is open. What was held apart from light is given up, that light may shine on it and leave no space nor distance lingering between the light of heaven and the world. The holiest of all spots on the earth is where an ancient hatred has become a present love. And they come quickly to the living temple, where a home for them has been set up. There is no place in heaven holier, and they have come to dwell within the temple offered them to be their resting place as well as yours. What hatred has released to love becomes the brightest light in heaven's radiance, and all the lights in heaven brighter grow in gratitude for what has been restored. Around you, angels hover lovingly to keep away all darkened thoughts of sin and keep the light where it has entered in. Your footprints lighten up the world, for where you walk, forgiveness gladly goes with you. No one on earth but offers thanks to one who has restored his home and sheltered him from bitter winter and the freezing cold. And shall the Lord of heaven and his Son give less in gratitude for so much more? Now is the temple of the living God rebuilt as host again to him by whom it was created. Where he dwells, his Son dwells with him, never separate. And they give thanks that they are welcome made at last. Where stood a cross, now stands the risen Christ, and ancient scars are healed within his sight. An ancient miracle has come to bless and to replace an ancient enmity that came to kill. In gentle gratitude do God the Father and the Son return to what is theirs and will forever be. Now is the Holy Spirit's purpose done, for they have come, for they have come at last. Amen. Thank you, Jay, for letting me read that beautiful passage. And here is the mic.
Oh, that was beautiful, Lynn. Thank you for reading that. I could see that your mind and your heart were very aligned and wholehearted as you were reading that, and it was very clear. You know, one of the things I was doing as I was getting up this morning is I was a little frustrated because what happened last night is the power cycled on the alarm clock that I used to get myself up in the morning. I wanted to get up at 8 o'clock. And when I got up, I looked at the clock face and it was blank. Sometimes it doesn't restart correctly. So I looked at another clock and it was 8:45. So it was just a half hour from when I needed to be here presenting the gathering. And so I had a good opportunity to practice all of this right away, letting go of any frustration that might be from the extra hour that I was really planning on having this morning. So I trust all is perfect, as Doug would say. You know, one of the things I heard is that the clock is always now. Yes, isn't that the product idea that we've come up with at one point, where we said that the clock face of every watch says now on it. You know, as I was listening to the songs that Lynn was playing prior to the gathering, there was a line in the lyrics of one song that stood out to me. It said, "I will put down my sword and shield." And of course, those are typical biblical terms we think of from maybe our childhood growing up in church. And what I realize now with my current awareness and understanding is what that's talking about is putting down the attitude of attacking, which is the swords, and shield, which is being defensive. So I'm going to put down my desire to both attack and defend, because as we know from the teachings in the Course of Miracles and other teachings, when I defend, I am attacked, right? When I defend myself, I'm attacked. And if I attack, I think someone else has done something wrong that deserves judgment, and my anger towards them is only meant to make them feel guilty, which is a kind of punishment. So what that says is I'm no longer seeing that problem, or what, you know, that we call sin, in another person and thus judgment, nor am I trying to defend myself for an accusation against myself or from when another gives me an accusation for something that they think I did that's wrong, and thus sinful, thus deserving of judgment. You know, it's true that love only exists when it is extended to another. Love can't be selfish. Well, my love's over here. Forget you over there. I'm just going to be loving over here. That doesn't really work like that, right? Love only exists when it's shared. Kind of like light. Light only exists at the speed of light. If it goes below the speed of light, it's not light anymore. You turn the source of light off on a light bulb, you don't see the light anymore. And so that state of extending that love, extending that state of being, possibly is the very thing that is all there is in heaven. You know, growing up, this passage talks a lot about heaven. And actually in the Old Testament, there are over 90 different references to heaven. Some of the more well-known ones are verses like Matthew 5:3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," from the Beatitudes. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Shall see God. That doesn't really directly reference heaven. Matthew 6:20 is probably one of my favorite ones. "Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor where thieves do not break in through not steal, nor steal," is the full passage. So, you know, it's the idea that in the state of heaven, nothing can be taken from you because you have nothing to lose. There's no possessions. There's nothing I have that you don't have. And when I can be in that state, truly equal, truly a peer, nothing can be lost. And the shininess of love is never gone. You know, there was a show I was watching last night that referenced love, and there was a phrase that was said, "Do you think love ever wears out?" You know, I thought to myself, if it's wearing out, if it's rusting and getting corrupted and decaying, then it's not love. Because love is only alive, love is only shared. And love is fulfilling. So as I speak about this, and I feel this, I listen for that voice in my mind that's guiding me, right? I listen for that voice of God. You know, and there's a lot of talk in here about salvation, too. When we think of maybe salvation, again, back to our childhood, about a Pentecostal preacher or somebody yelling in front of a crowd about salvation. "Be saved, brothers." So what are we being saved from, really? You know, the passages in this particular holy book that I'm inspiration and focusing on this week, the idea is that the salvation sleeps in your brother. Well, what happens when you're asleep and it becomes morning? What do you have to do? You have to awaken, right? You have to awaken from a sleep. "Hey, buddy, wake up. Hey," you shake them on the shoulder, it's time to get up. Come on, let's get up. If who you're with is still sleeping and it's time to get up, what do? You help them wake up. I can't be awakened over here and love over here and forget about you over there. I don't really care what you're doing. That's none of my business. I'm going to do what I got to do. You got to do what you got to do. That's not the way the idea and the practice of what is described here as salvation works. I must extend that love to my brother. I must see perfection where others see error and fault. Or maybe I, most importantly, have used to see error and fault. Because when it comes down to it, we all do the insane things we do, and everyone does the insane things they do because of fear. You could say all war is really because of greed, which is also based on fear. So we do insane things when we're afraid. And so we can't judge them for that. We may feel pain if we look upon something horrific or cruel. But do we have to judge? We may cry when we look upon cruelty or unkindness or abuse. But our heart must extend in open love to all. We cannot judge what we call sinners. Because everything we see in our brother, of course, we see in ourselves. You know, and the idea is that the host of God is actually in our brother. Our host of God is there, not over somewhere else. We have to see that God in everything we look upon. We have to. The moment we stop seeing it and try to feel safe by being separate from it, we are furthering war. Every time I look upon anything and see perfection in it and see love past the seeming cruelty, even if I am crying or feeling repulsion in myself or something like that, an unpleasant emotion, I can just let that emotion pass. I don't need to move into condemnation and judgment. I can just simply let that emotion pass through me. And trust that that light will shine through and that I can see that perfection, that face of Christ and that sight of Christ in the situation, in the brother. So, what is the reason we're here, right? The quintessential question, why are we here? Why are we in this life, seemingly? We don't have any memory past when we were born. And yet sometimes when we meet people, we feel like we've known them for 1,000 years or can complete each other's sentences or feel so connected to somebody else that you just feel good with them. That good feeling doesn't come from being apart from them. The feeling comes from being connected to them, from being open and trusting and extending the love. You know, I myself have pushed love away in the past because I was afraid of it. I think we've all done that at different times. We've taken up our shield and our sword, again, to try to be safe by being separate from something. But are we really safe when we're separate from something? Or in fact, are we even more vulnerable? You know, to be vulnerable is to truly be open. And that's the movement, right? But what are we really trusting when we do that? We're trusting that we can forgive and see that love. And if we get on that river and we get on that boat down that flowing path of that openness, it feels good. It feels good when we're there. And we call it being in love, right? You're happy. Light is shining from you. Nothing is wrong. Everybody's great. You're not seeing any problems in the world. Everything is wonderful. Oh, that person must be in love, you say. Ah, yes, I'm in love. Everything is golden. And then when the person fails to do what exactly it is you want them to do, then you're not in love anymore. You don't feel that. Now, the idea, I think, in the practice of spiritual awakening is that we are in love with everything. And that we don't hold an expectation as to how a situation is going to turn out, or how a person is going to behave specifically as to how what would make me happy. We just open our hearts and our hands and our minds and we hold it in love and extend that love. And that's it. And what I find is all on its own, everything comes around to that loving. Everything comes back into the fold of love. And when we get maybe a little frustrated about how long that's taking, we can reassure ourselves that time is an illusion and that my only practice needs to be concerned with right now. You know, and that when I am holding a judgment against a brother or sister, and when I say brother, I don't mean male, I just mean it in a universal sense, another person, when you're holding a judgment against another person. People don't hold judgments or grudges against dogs or cats or fish or a cow. I suppose that if a dog attacks a human being just simply puts the dog down, right? Kills the dog. If it harms a person. I suppose that's the vengeance enacted upon an animal. But people think that's kind of silly. You don't stay mad at an animal, right? Because animals, we think of them as innocent, right? Or a little baby that drops an object on your foot and it hurts your foot. You don't get mad at the baby because the baby's innocent. But what if we're all the little babies and the little animals, really, right? And we're all innocent, even though we think the person did it on purpose, out of malicious spite. Gonna get even with that sucker, right? They screwed me over. I hate them. I'm gonna get even with them. So I can feel good and feel safe that I've gotten revenge upon this person. Right? And even if you do get your revenge, everybody that says they all say the same thing. It doesn't change their feeling. It doesn't make them feel good. It makes them feel worse. You know, the green grass that this passage and this work is talking about in here, talking about letting go of that and to seeing past that, right? Because everything that comes around, goes around, comes around, right? So Jesus is teaching about forgiveness, turning the other cheek, that it doesn't really matter, isn't the typical forgiveness. This is not seeing that your brother screwed you over and that that's okay, I'm going to look past it. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about abiding in the presence of love as you let it pass by and do not get caught on the train of judgment. Those people on that train saying, hey, come on, help me judge. This person just screwed you over. Come on, yes, you're right, they're wrong. Judge this person, hop on this train with me. But that train's going off the edge of a cliff. And you look over there and you see that each car is plummeting off to the end of this cliff because this railroad track just goes literally right off the edge of a cliff to oblivion. It leads you nowhere. The train just goes off to the edge to its own destruction. But the other track goes up into the sky, up into sun. It's like this train leads you up or leads you down. Which train do you want to get on? Which train of thought do you want to board, right? Which train of thought do you want to board? I have a choice, right? I can feel whatever pain that I'm feeling from what has been done and what has happened, but I still don't need to judge. Gosh, I really feel a lot of hurt right now. Gosh, I really feel a lot of loss right now. Gosh, I really feel even anger right now. I feel that. Dear God, help me see past this. I don't want to feel this. I want to see love. And if you can just stay in that for a little bit, in that space of equanimity, to go through the adversity with equanimity as much as you can muster, then the light appears and the grass grows green, and the blood of hatred fades, as this passage is talking about, and the flowers all white, and the sparkling summer sun. Because I don't see that anymore. It's just a passing distraction. And that holiness, that peace that's in me, that is extended always, is extended to my brother. And the insanity is exposed for what it is. And every time that happens, I know in me, there's a breakdown. There's a breakdown. There's a letting go where I can then again see the light. And I feel that love. And I see what was occurring was just a mirage. And there's no reason why I can't be friends with the person who I once hated. There's no reason. I can be. You know, there's some things that people say they just can't forgive and they can't let go of. And that may be so. There's a lot of people. That's really mostly what people think in general. But again, that's a choice. That's a train that's leading off to the edge of oblivion, and each car is plummeting one after the other off the edge of the cliff. It doesn't lead anywhere. It's death. It's not life. Because what we think has happened is just a judgment. It's just a reflection of something in ourself. And what goes around comes around. Everything happens for a reason. I say that to myself all the time. And those who I love, who I'm around a lot, also say that same thing. Everything happens for a reason. This last week, right in the midst of enjoying this wonderful new job that I got, there was a downsizing of the company and I was laid off. Friday was my last day. I worked a whopping 2 months at this job. I was really wanting to settle down there and stay a part of this job for a long time. But because the company lost their main client, 40% of the revenue, and have been suspended by the U.S. Department of Education from doing further business, and the president and his daughter and directors put on administrative leave for overcharging and overbilling the government, a lot of the work dried up in the company. So I no longer have a job as of Friday. And some people around me were commenting, you know, gosh, you're kind of calm. And I'm just going to use this opportunity to just be in the hands of God, you know. Everything happens for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. You know, I was just fine with the job I had before. There wasn't really any immediate problems. This came across my path. I didn't try to seek out this job. I got a phone call, so I just sort of went with it. And it led, in terms of the job, off the cliff, right? And yet, for some reason, I just don't feel upset in the least way. I just don't. I really don't. Everybody really loved me there. They took me out to lunch. They told me how much they were going to miss me. I felt really cared for and loved at this job. I really was starting to make some great friends there. Last time I talked to Regina, I was telling her about it and telling her I wanted to sort of just stick around there for a while. And right after that, I'm moving right on out of that job. So, you know, it's interesting how things work out. And the feeling I'm getting with all of it is to just be with it, you know. And then this chapter 26, section 9 comes up, and this is a pretty heavy section in ACIM. It's pretty intense. This is one of the key sections in the whole book, really. That's the whole ancient hatred has become a present love section. And so it's interesting how it's talking about a time of rejoicing, right? So I'm not quite sure what the message is, but I don't really need to know. I just need to be in the present, be secure with God as my source, and knowing that it's all going to be fine, whatever it is. I don't honestly care. I think for the first time, I don't really care. I know that it's going to be fine. And I have a lot of trust and a lot of faith. So we're moving it to 10 o'clock. thank you all for listening to me for this these last 45 minutes in the gathering. And I'd like to move now into a time where we're just sort of meditating on this, and meditating on that living consciousness, that living love, that's the practice of everything that truth teaches. And let's just be in this meditation, in this space. If you want to donate, we are accepting donations. It's a big part of our operating revenue for all of the things we do. So please, Barb will post the link. So I'll turn the mic back to Lynn so she can play a song while we enter into our silent time and our meditation, and to just be with the ideas that have come through, and maybe something you heard you can reflect upon, or a way you can take into your heart and be in your life with right now for just a few minutes. So I'll give the mic back up to you, Lynn.
To the table, come to the feast, come be the giver of the praise, come as a lover, come as a friend, come join the joy that will not end. As you sow, you shall reap. If it's love you would keep, if it's love for which you live, and love you must give. Come join the living, come as you are, come for a moment, come to stay. Some come by fire, some by flood, but to love it's all the same.
Lynn, that was a perfect song. You're awesome. You are a very awesome DJ. Thank you. Just want to open up the floor now. I'd love to hear from people today about what it is they came up for them and what their thoughts are now about what has been shared and what we have moved through and talked about in this last hour. So I'd like to open up the mic and maybe hear some of the thoughts and some of the insights that came up, or some of the feelings or what was going on in you during this last 45 minutes. I really like this part of the gathering where we can interact and hear what each other is thinking. Don't all raise your hands at once. You know, we have to take turns. Robbie is writing that his mic isn't working. He's been typing. Yeah, Robbie has participated a lot today. I will give him that. Okay, so Lynn, take the mic.
All right, thank you so much, Jay, and thank you for the opportunity to read for you and to play music. And yeah, I do sort through music and pick music that I think is going to be appropriate, even though I'm not particularly sure what is going to be said. It always seems to work out, and it's such a joy to have that. It just occurs to me that all of this, Jay, is really how we are working in concert as the Holy Son of God to bring back to reality, bring the sonship back to reality. And you know, I was hearing you talking about your job, your opportunities, and, you know, knowing that, you know, everything is, yes, it is divine. It is perfect. Even though the script was not written by, by anyone who would have wanted to make sense, because the script was written to be chaos, you know, the Holy Spirit went right back into that script and rewrote everything to give it all a divine concept, to bring God back into it. And so all of these things that happen, even if it appears to be, you know, someone you love passed away, you lost your job, none of these things are permanent or even actually even harmful. There's nothing that can go wrong. And so to come to this place where, yes, it's really the relationship. It is really the joining that we do with each other wherever we are. And I know that, you know, that, yes, people did love you at that job. People will love you at the next job. People will love you everywhere you go. Why? Because you represent the Christ, and you respect and see them as the Christ as well. And when people know that they are loved and respected, they respond with that same love and respect. And so the whole idea of, who am I? What am I here for, and what is my purpose? And, I think you really nailed it, Jay. Thank you so much for that. And beautiful, beautiful service this morning. And please, anybody have anything to say, put your hand up. Let's make this interactive.
You know, I'd like to respond. Oh, Monica's got her hand up. Go ahead. Your mic, Monica.
Hi. Good morning, everybody. Good morning so much. Thank you so much, Jay. Thank you so much, Lynn, for the beautiful music. I wanted to say, Jay, especially what you were sharing about in terms of losing your job. I don't even want to use the word losing, the transition that happened in regards to your job. You made me think about, as a lot of you know, my situation. I'm basically, you know, at the mercy of social services for everything, you know, rental assistance, food stamps, and I'm very grateful for all of that. And I don't want to come across as ungrateful at all. But, you know, there's this constant reviewing for the benefits, you know, constant applications and providing documentation and needing to make copies and getting to a post office. And a lot of that I can't even do, like getting to a post office and making copies. But, my friend Pete has been helping me. So anyway, what I wanted to say was, you know, you're sharing about having faith that things, you know, would work out. I need to take a page from your book, you know. The worrying is not helping the situation. The other thing I wanted to, so anyway, you know, I practice my course lessons every day when I wake up, and I'm pretty okay when I wake up and I'm drinking my coffee, but as the day wears on, you know, a lot of times I lose faith, and, you know, I need to look around and really realize that, you know, things are working out for me, for good. And, the other thing I wanted to share about was, you know, coming on Thursday, going up to the Weekend of Freedom retreat. I am so excited about that. Thank you, Lynn and Regina and Dove and, you know, a lot of people making that happen for me. And I'm very, very grateful. And anyone else that may have been involved in having that happen for me, thank you so much. I just wanted to thank you, Jay, and also Lynn. Your choice of music is just spectacular. Thank you so much, and I will release the mic.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Sunday. I just wanted to thank you, Jay, for bringing what you brought this morning. It was such an incredible service. The reading was wonderful. The music was wonderful. But beyond that, the peace that you brought here this morning, the presence that flowed through you, was wonderful. And it could have been very easy not to have that presence after you'd had a major upset like you did. But you brought such peace and such serenity, and I just wanted to thank you for that. I've had some major upsets in my world in the last 2 weeks, and they've all come through with just beautiful colors, and every time I thought of them, I thought, gee, I'd worry about them and give them to Holy Spirit, and one by one they fell like dominoes. But during that time, I'm just not sure that the presence flowed through me as wonderfully as it flowed through you. So thank you for being a wonderful example. And I love you all.
Yes, I just wanted to say thank you, everyone, and you know, Jay and Lynn and Dove and everyone that just shared. And the thing that comes to mind, I mean, everyone here, everyone, you know, on the radio, because it's all of us together. When Lynn was sharing about the large woman at the doctor's office that, you know, before service started. I have a friend that I've only met just through, just in the last couple of months or so. And her son has been, she's large. She's, you know, kind of like you described. And we just became instant friends, and she introduced her children to me, and she was one of the first people to speak up, you know, to just offer moral support. The situation I'm in it's just been overwhelming at times, and it was her children and her love and her beingness that has just been, you know, extended her moral support. She's they live the next street over on the corner, not far from me, and her son walks over and helps me lift boxes and carry stuff, and he's a big tall boy for, you know, he could be a football player. He's 15 years old, and he's just the sweetest thing, and he loves the dogs, and the dogs, my dogs, love him, and the whole theme here actually reminded me about how Holy Spirit uses contrast to teach us, to heal us. And for me, there's an image that comes up, like I have this pond in the back that I put over the grave of my dog. She loved water ever since she was just a tiny puppy, and in order to keep that pond healthy, I have to dig up the gunk and gludge and all that kind of stuff. You know, leaves fall in and they decay, and I have to dig all that up, and it comes to the surface and it smells and it stinks, and it's like something I'd really rather not be doing, but in order to keep the pond healthy, it has to come up for healing. And that's like, you know, what Jay was describing, and what appears to be a loss is actually just something that is coming up for healing. It's through this experience I'm having, I just recognize these patterns, and they always come up looking different, you know, different people, different places, different whatever, but it's always the same, and this world is always going to be like that. And I just wanted to thank you all for that reminder and the encouragement that on the other side of this, you know, the more we remember who we are and remind each other and hold the truth, the faster we'll get through it. That stupid expression, I hate it, no pain, no gain, whatever. It doesn't have to hurt, but it usually does. Thank you guys, I'm dropping the mic. And it's good to see everyone, Monica and Sonia and everybody. Just thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Dan, because that was a beautiful analogy about the pond and something in your own experience that you're sharing. It's very apropos, I think. It reminds me of something I learned in the MPP class, which is a really neat practice and an idea that has stuck with me ever since I really first received it in the MPP class with Regina, was the idea of an initial thought and a follow-up thought. We have the initial thought, oh gosh, this really sucks, I'm really upset right now. Or just the thought of, oh gosh, this really sucks right now. Or in the case of Dance's muck surfacing in the pond, gosh, this stuff really stinks and reeks. That's what we'd call an initial thought. And the follow-up thought would be, in the case of the muck in the pond, you know, the initial thought is, gosh, this really reeks. The follow-up thought would be something like, and it really sucks that I have to do this. Or a follow-up thought like, I wish I didn't have to do this. Or like for me, having lost the job, wow, I'm really sad that I have to lose this job. I'm feeling sadness come up in me and disappointment. To just let that thought be the initial thought and go no further. or if tears come, let the tears come, but nothing further. No further follow-up judgment thought. It's always in the follow-up thoughts that happens to, kind of get you down that train that goes off the edge of the cliff, right, to oblivion. It's the judgments. Because what I find is that when I just stay with that initial thought and go no further, and don't go any beyond that, and it actually just simply dissipates in a very short time. In a very short time. You know, it really is all about vigilance and staying with yourself and making sure that those thoughts don't keep going out of control. And that's really what the practice is. So it's something that I think is really important, that when you do practice it, it can be helpful to keep you in that peace, and rather than going down the negativity. Did anything come up for anybody else? Barb or Jackie or Kathy or... I know that Gloria's in here, and Nancy, anybody? Iris, go ahead and take the mic.
Good morning, it's Iris from London. Can you hear me? Wonderful. I just wanted to say thank you to everyone, and thank you, Jay, and... I keep thinking about divine order, and I keep thinking about synchronicity, and I was praying this morning because I was have this like feeling that I just would like to leave my job. I just want to quit. And I don't have anything else in the pipeline. And, but what I'm doing is I'm praying and I'm gonna try and listen. But I noticed that, my head gets full of thoughts all the time that makes it difficult to listen. And, but I do realize that all those thoughts are fear thoughts coming from the little self. And, but I'm really grateful that, that God has everything in order. And when I think of that, I feel much better. I feel fine. I feel good because, that I don't need to fix anything by myself, and I don't need to plan anything by myself with my own thinking. So this service this morning, with Jay, you know, and your job situation, and it seemed very relevant to what I was thinking about as well this morning. And I think you know, that we just trust, we trust. And yeah, that was really all I wanted to share. And I just wanted to say thank you for being here.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Thanks, Jay, for great service. Thank you, Iris, for sharing what you shared as well. I just wanted to talk a little bit about this issue. You know, I've gone through a lot of changes in my life, and I have always been really taken by this idea of being a lily of the field, you know, about really just surrendering my trust and surrendering the reins and and really experiencing that that God is my source. And when I'm able to do that, that has certainly been my experience. You know, in one of Bryn Haskell's book, Yeshua or Jesus says, you know, there really is a way of living in this world where you don't have to take thought, where you can be a lily of the field. You don't have to take thought about what's going to happen if you just listen to me. And that's true. And, you know, every time I have relied on God as my source, it always works out. And, you know, that's the essential thing. That's what A Course in Miracles says at the beginning. It says, nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. So every time I'm tempted to go, oh no, what if I don't get this? Or what if that doesn't, you know, and how am I going to, if I can remember that and just rest in that, I'm always, always, always taken care of, you know. I'm not going hungry. I'm not going out without a roof over my head. We're always, always taken care of. And I just, and I'm very, very grateful for that. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to share that and to share in that knowledge with all of you guys. So, Jay, thanks for a great sermon, and thanks for letting me share.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me? Okay, great. Well, Jay, I didn't get to hear the message. I was out shopping this morning, but I came back and turned on the radio, and I guess I can assume it's something about a loss of a job or something. And so I'm in the MPP class as well. And the lesson for today is I see no neutral things. And I forget what yesterday's lesson was. It's so funny how you kind of forget, although you practice it. Anyway, I do. But what dawned on me yesterday when I was practicing the lesson yesterday, how everything I see, I really do have an opinion about. I mean, it's either one or the other. It's either fear or it's either peace, so fear or love or something like that. And so it's just funny how I look at a person's body, and I'm looking at their body, and then I feel fear because my body isn't in shape. Or I look at my boss, and I feel fear that. So I was just always wondering, because I said I've been on this journey for a little while now, just trying to, this inward journey for a while now, and why haven't things changed in my life? They have. There's a lot more peace in my life. But when I go back to these earlier lessons, I see how I still create, how I still have a lot of fearful thoughts. You know, just seeing that the lesson yesterday, that anything that I look at engenders a certain, it's coming from a certain place in me. And generally, it looks like it's been fear. So, I don't know. I just felt like sharing that. And thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much for that. I had the thought when I was listening to that, what do I want to give host to, love or fear? And I was listening to Dolores speak. You know, when I was listening to Jackie talk, I was thinking to myself, what does my peace depend upon, an outcome or a state of mind? What does my peace depend upon, an outcome or a state of mind? And that, I think it's the state of mind. You know, there's as I let go of my fears, I've tended to let go of fears one by one. Sometimes they go in groups, but for me it's been a gradual process of letting go of the fears. It's not all happened at one time. Some people it does. You know, and it's just a matter of letting go of those preferences. It's funny how fears can become a self-creating delusion, really, because that's what you are unconsciously dwelling on and rattling around and trying to suppress is these fears, rather than confronting them and just being with them and letting them dissipate, just like a mirage in a road as you drive towards it. It just simply goes away by the virtue of the fact that you've driven toward it. So just letting yourself move through that moment, for me anyway, it just sort of goes away. It just sort of dissipates. And Regina shared a nice thought, which is seeing life as an adventure helped me let go of clinging to desired outcomes. That's that very same attitude has helped me too, because it's kind of exciting to see what's going to come next, because I don't always know. You know, having surprises like being unexpectedly let go from your job like that is certainly, you know, I think I've so practiced not worrying about the outcome that it literally doesn't faze me, you know, and I'm kind of a little surprised that I'm not more upset or disturbed by this, but at the same time not so surprised, kind of interested to see what's going to happen next and what's in store for me next. So I think we're going to wrap up the service. It's 10:30, and let's just take a moment to express my gratitude for all of you being here and sharing all of your wonderful comments. And I felt like this was truly an interactive service where, you know, a lot of people took the mic and shared their thoughts. And that's what I think this is all about, is this interaction and this sharing time where we can all feel like we're really connected and all as if we're sitting in church together kind of thing. And, you know, thank you, Jackie and Iris and Sonia and everybody that shared. So I'm going to turn this back over to... Oh, hey, Phil, how are you? Hey, Nancy. Missed hearing your voice this morning, Nancy. I always love hearing you share your thoughts, too. So maybe some other time I can hear you share. I'll turn this back over to Lynn. And we'll hear our closing song, Blessings to All. Bye-bye.